A lot of people are in the waiting room at the pediatric specialty clinic at the University of Iowa Children's Hospital. It's a room all too familiar for Jill Wellner and her 8-year-old son, Nick. They're from Waterloo, and they make this trip to Iowa City about once every 6 weeks.
Nicholas was diagnosed back in February of 2008, and so it's just we've done what any other parent would do, step up a little bit and take care of our child.
One of the first signs of Batten disease is often trouble seeing. That's what happened with Nick. Since then, his vision has gotten worse, he suffers from insomnia, and he has behavioral problems, mostly controlled now with medication for ADHD.
But eventually, that won't work as well, and he'll lose his ability to think. His short-term memory will go. He'll eventually have some seizures that will affect that as well. So it's just a decline.
Nick is sitting next to his mom while a walking cane leans up against the chair. He's wearing a baseball t-shirt, and he has a stuffed panda in a Batman suit. His name is Jack.
I like to play video games and watch TV a lot and like watch movies and play Wii and that kind of stuff.
There are 10 forms of Batten disease, all affecting different genes in the brain, but the most common are infantile, late infantile, and juvenile Batten disease. Each cause cells in the brain to die, and it's estimated about 1 in every 50,000 children in North America has it. Nick has the infantile form, although he started showing symptoms later than usual. Currently, he's expected to live until his late teens or early 20s. Dr. Bev Davidson at the University of Iowa is working to find treatments and a cure for a couple forms of Batten disease.
We don't know how to fix it, and parents and scientists and physicians are at a loss in how to prevent the demise of the child.
Davidson's work with the late infantile form is causing the biggest stir. It all has to do with changing the way the brain circulates blood.
The blood-brain barrier, very simply put, is designed to keep the blood that's going all throughout our body and all of the sometimes bad stuff that's in our blood from getting into the brain.
So instead of blocking out bad things, Davidson manipulates the barrier to allow good things into the brain, precisely the enzyme children with Batten disease don't have.
The cells are happier, they don't die, and even in animal models we're able to improve some of the behavioral problems that these animals have. It's similar to the children with this disease.
The next step is testing the method in more animals, and other doctors are working to build on Davidson's research. And while all of these signs are encouraging, trying to get funding to study Batten disease continues to be a problem. Lance Johnston, who had a daughter die from the disease, is the director of the Batten Disease Support and Research Association.
We have had difficulty in keeping the scientists in the field because if there's no money, they're going to go someplace where there is money.
Johnston says an average of about $4 million goes toward Batten disease research every year, which he says is not nearly enough. Back at the University of Iowa Children's Hospital, Jill Wellner reaches for a tote bag that has a cure for Nick written on it. She says having it is just one way to help raise awareness about the disease. The family is also hosting a charity golf tournament in August to raise money for research.
This is our time. This is our time. This is when we have to be. We can't sit and wallow in what's to come. That will not be a life for Nicholas, won't be a life for us. So we just take one day at a time, and that's the way we do it.
In Iowa City, I'm Alex Hoyer, Iowa Public Radio News.